I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Built Ford Talk Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. What a frustrating loss for the Rangers, a game they really never should have lost after dominating after two periods. And the third period going in a different direction. Should have been up 2-0, 3-0 in this game. Antti Raanta was very good. The Rangers couldn't bury the puck, especially on that kid line with Kaapo Kakko with the wide-open net. And, of course, Filip Hedl with an opportunity as well and a great save there. Shesterkin was really, really good in this game. Defensively, the Rangers played the best game they might have played the entire playoffs. But, of course, Sebastian Aho ties it with a really skilled play to stick with the puck after a Shesterkin save. And then, of course, a, I don't know if you want to call it fluky, overtime goal. You get a player who's not a goal scorer just throwing the puck towards the net, hits Lindgren's stick, and that's it. And the Rangers are down 1-0 in a series. They should be up 1-0 because they played their asses off. I don't know what's worse. That game that they played where they were just awful against the Penguins and didn't look like they wanted to compete and then just got, you know, you flush that game and you move on. Or a game like last night where you were beating the brakes off that team and you couldn't get it done. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, Gio. I think you captured everything pretty much spot on. I you know, the thing about it from a Rangers fan's perspective, now we know how the Penguins fans feel after Game 7.
Yeah.
And the perspective is that, you know, they were just sitting back in the third period. You know, it was like being very careful, quick changes, trying to play defense. Panarin loafed back on that first goal by Aho. You know, something's going on with him. I don't know whether it's injury. We're not really sure. You know, he had the snipe the other night in Game 7, but hadn't done much. They didn't generate any offense, really any offense, from their top two lines. It was their bottom two lines that generated most of the offense. I mean, and Antti Raanta, their former teammate, back up to Henrik Lundqvist, is a guy who had an amazing game in the first two periods. He kept them in the game. And it was like Igor didn't have to do much the first two. And I was like, fine, this is great. This is you're protecting your young goalie. You're playing against a really good team. And then all of a sudden, they stopped like the offensive push in the third period. And they were trying to sit on a one-goal lead, which, you know, it's tough to do. I mean, I appreciate the attention to defense. I appreciate they were running a 1-2-2 there for a while, which I hadn't seen a lot of. And to me, it looked great on defense. And this is what I wanted. I wanted to see them protect the home net. But somehow there's got to be a balance. There's got to be more scoring opportunities from the Rangers. And remember, I did say that the Rangers' power play struggles against this penalty kill unit.
Yeah.
They took the first power play of the game and then promptly gave it right back. And then there was not another power play the entire game. So there are a million things to look at here. All I know is that I feel really disappointed for the players. I really do. I mean, they played hard last night. They blocked shots last night. They still have a problem in the faceoff dot, especially important faceoffs. Igor made some tough saves in the third period. There's no question about that. And then the final goal in overtime goes off of Ryan Lindgren's stick. I mean, this is hockey. This is what hockey's all about. It could be exhilarating. It could be frustrating. And certainly it could be maddening, and losing a game like that was maddening. Now, meantime, while this game was 2-1, it was blah, 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 a lot of defense, there wasn't a lot of shots being generated. The game after this went to 9-6
incredible.
In Calgary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Between the
incredible
Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. But, hey, look, it's game one. Now they got to go get game two on Friday night. That's all there is to it. I think both teams were kind of feeling each other out.
Especially early, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean,
you know, you were talking about withstanding that Carolina Hurricane charge in the beginning of the game, and that's what I was kind of expecting from them. I think a lot of people were, and it never really came. I mean, that building, which is known to be pretty raucous, was dead early on after the Rangers scored. I mean, for the majority of the first and second period, I mean, it felt like a regular season game from the standpoint of the building. And I was just, I said, man, the Rangers came in there and they basically, you know, sucked the life out of Carolina. And they did. So that's why it was just, it's so incredibly frustrating. Because that was, you know, some of the things that the Penguins were lacking in the series, the Rangers were lacking against the series against the Penguins. They brought all of that into this game, into this matchup, which was so encouraging.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it really felt like, man, they learned their lesson in that series against the Penguins, and now they've brought it in here, and who knows? If Shesterkin plays well, who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, that's the worst that they play is in that first-round series, and here comes a run, and they couldn't finish it off. I mean, and even the Aho goal, I mean, Shesterkin makes an unbelievable save on that. He just couldn't. I mean, the rebound was there, and Aho, I mean, to think about the skill to keep yourself that balanced, to be able to get that rebound and then put it into the net. I mean, that's why he's one of the best players in hockey. I mean, that was just an incredible goal there to stop, turn. Well,
there was nobody around him.
Yeah, I mean, but
And the reason that there was nobody around him is that two of your best players, you know, weren't really busting it getting back, and that's Mika and Panarin, who happened to be on the ice at the same time. Now, Panarin could have been at the end of a shift. I'm not really sure, but you know, it's just it was frustrating because Kako had the open net, as you said, in the second period. Lafreniere had a great shot. It hit a post. Niederreiter hit a post for them. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't go your way and things happen. While I am very disappointed this morning, don't get me wrong, I'm kind of like happy with the way that
you're encouraged that they
I'm encouraged the way they play defensively. Yeah. I thought Keandre Miller had one of his best games in the playoffs this year. Even though that I think he and Braden Schneider on the ice for the breakaway for Niederreiter, he got the pass from Jesper Foss. So I don't know. It was kind of like you're just sitting there. I know how all the Ranger fans were doing because I was doing the same thing. I'm sitting here going, I know this is not good. This is not good. They're not generating enough offense here, especially once you got under like 5 minutes to go in the game. Mm-hmm. You're like, you keep chipping it out, keep chipping it out, keep chipping it out, and then eventually somebody is going to score for them. Just they're too good, and that's I kind of feel like that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Kako also had another opportunity, not on the open net, but the Rangers thought it was a penalty because he lost an edge or something.
Well, he was slashed. He was 100% slashed. And I tweeted out last night, definite 100% slash every time. Especially when you're ahead of the defense, the way that he got ahead of the defense. And the defense comes back and they do whatever they need to do. And if you hit the opposing player with your stick while he has the puck on his stick up by his hands, that's an automatic slashing penalty. And it was not called, but that's hockey. That's
playoffs. Hockey. Yeah.
It was just obvious for anybody, especially Ranger fans, that we saw that particular play happened to be a penalty that was not called.
So where you're at right now, it sounds like, is that it's as annoying of a loss as it was, as frustrating as a loss. You didn't necessarily expect them to play that well or play that type of way against
Carolina. I thought it was going to be like a 5-4 game. That's what I thought it was going to be, and it turned out to be a 1-1 game going into overtime. And Igor did not have that much really to do, considering what he had just gotten through.
Oh, my goodness.
Or came through against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Look, Carolina is a very good hockey team. They forecheck like crazy. And then the other thing, you got to remember, Rob Brind'Amour, their coach, he changed up the lines in the third period significantly. I mean, he was moving guys all over the place, and that seemed to ignite
it did.
Them, especially in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it did, because the first two periods, as we mentioned, they were completely dead. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes were completely dead. He recognized that he needed to do something. He did something and it worked, but it almost didn't work because that Aho goal didn't come until, you know, 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go.
But they were generating
in the third period.
But they were generating more. Yeah. They were getting more turnovers. They were winning more faceoffs. The predominance of play was in the Ranger zone in the third quarter. So that was, third period. So that was, it's one of those games you wake up this morning and it's like, I can't believe they lost that game. But then there are those games like game seven against Pittsburgh, you're like, oh man, I can't believe they won that game.
Yeah, sure.
So this is part of the drama that will play out, hopefully, through a long series here, and hopefully the Rangers on Friday night can get the second game back.
Yeah, I think you got to feel, now, I don't know if you will or not, but I think you got to feel a little bit better about the coach after last night, no? I mean, the fact that it seemed like there were some adjustments made.
No, I do. I mean, look, I'm not in here like I was last week.
Yeah.
Screaming and yelling about, you know, the lack of effort, you know, the helter-skelter play in the defensive zone and putting Igor out on an island. That was not the case last night. Last night was defensive first. They played better. They just didn't generate enough five-on-five offensive opportunities with their top two lines. I think Ryan Strome had one, you know, grade-A opportunity. Kreider and Mika, I didn't even see them last night. I mean, they were there, and they were skating up and down, but they did not get involved. There was nothing. There was no, like, extended, let's stay in their zone and let's buzz around. I mean, Ryan Reeves had more shots and better shots than Mika Zibanejad did. And, you know, that is not a recipe for winning for the Rangers. Mika's got to be in the middle of it. Kreider's got to be in the middle of it. And he and those guys in Petrano never got going. You know, what's his name? Gallant basically changed up some of the lines in Game 7 against Pittsburgh, and it worked. And it worked where Kopp actually fed Mika, and Mika scored the goal to tie the game, I believe it was. So, you know, he does do some of that, but that's not really his nature. His nature is roll four lines. You play whoever's against you out there, and you got to know who's out there. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me a little bit. But last night they played their asses off. They gave great effort. They lost. It was a freak goal in the overtime. But that is NHL hockey. That is playoff hockey. Now they got to regroup. And they somehow, their top players have got to play better offensively and be more committed defensively, especially late in the game, as they weren't last night.
All right, so the Rangers down 1-0 against Carolina. The other big story that came out of last night was Max Scherzer leaving. Mets win, which was nice to see, and the fourth game of that series will be played today. But Max Scherzer leaving the game and immediately knowing something was wrong, doing the throat slash sign in the sixth inning, and then that was the end of it. So there is a video of Jeremy Hefner, the Mets pitching coach, in the dugout talking to somebody, and when you lip read it, as John Boy has lip read it, he goes, "It's just his back, nothing bad." So backs can be a problem, clearly, but it's not as if it was, you know, shoulder, an arm or an elbow or a shoulder or
scapula.
Yeah, you know, something like that.
You know, it's not his side that's going to turn into, you know, something else.
That's what a lot of people thought, that it was going to be an oblique situation. Yeah. So we'll see. There's going to be an MRI done later today. But, of course, you know, when you don't have Jacob DeGrom, you lose Tylor Megill, and now you've got an injury here that we don't know exactly the extent of with Max Scherzer. And the Mets are certainly going through it a little bit here, like I feel like they always do. I mean, every single year. I mean, this is one of those, you know, classic. You could change the manager. You could change the uniforms. You could change. I mean, everybody gets hurt.
Yes.
Every year. Everybody gets hurt. So here we go again. And hopefully the lineup itself can stay intact offensively for the most part, even though you had the Nimmo's issue and, you know, I mean, everybody's hurt. it's just amazing.
Well, it was just nice to see Pete Alonso hit a home run last night.
Right, exactly. Line drive shot.
Right. And to think that this lineup put up 11 runs, that's pretty good.
That was great. That was great. But, I mean, you know, this is exactly what everybody's fear was. Now, we don't know the Scherzer injury, but, you know, having those two guys, but not really having those two guys. That's what everybody's fear was. That was a Met fan going into the season, but got DeGrom and Scherzer. But, you know, DeGrom last season, you barely saw the guy, and he ended up being out for the year. We haven't seen him in a long time. We don't know what the hell he's going to be. Turns out nothing is what he is because he hasn't pitched. And then Max Scherzer is, you know, in his late 30s and had a dead arm issue towards the end of last year. So what are you going to get from him? So, like, the negativity person that going into the year, the negative Met fan, you know, some of those feelings are being validated right now with Scherzer leaving that game.
You know what's amazing? Right now, as we speak, the number one pitcher in Major League Baseball is?
The number one pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it could be, you know, ERA.
Nestor Cortez?
No. In Major League Baseball right now, number one is Justin Verlander.
Wow.
Who basically, you know, was shut down, missed almost 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
He's got a 1.38 ERA, and he is pitching his ass off. So the question, like, I have to ask you now, when Jacob DeGrom does come back, if Jacob DeGrom does come back, and he opts out of his contract, are you going to give him a contract extension looking at Justin Verlander, or is somebody else going to give him a contract extension? Because, you know, the Mets are tired of all the injuries, all the missed starts, all the things that come along with a guy that, you know, basically you has grown up here, and it's just like he can't ever seem to get his act together. Does he go somewhere else and get his act together?
No, I think he's going to remain a Met. There's no doubt about it. It's either going to be one of two things. One, he can't get back on the field this year and look like anything like himself, so then he's not going to opt out. Or he does come back, looks great. The Mets have a postseason run, and Steve Cohen knows that you can't get rid of him, and you can't let him walk, and he pays him what he needs to pay him. One of those two things are going to happen. It's not going to go anywhere else.
It's one of those really, it's going to be one of those difficult, and then still we don't know the answer simply because we haven't seen Jacob DeGrom. And as long as he's not here, and we are now, you know, getting towards the second half of May, and we thought maybe, just maybe, he'd be ready to go somewhere around June. That doesn't look to be the case right now.
No, it does not, even though every story you hear and every MRI that comes across, there is improvement. I mean, it doesn't really matter to the Mets fan until he is out there pitching and, you know, pitching consistently.
And look, he's been legitimately injured. There's nothing really you could say about it. There's nothing else going on here. But you have to understand, like, the finances of baseball, it's like he comes back and let's say he goes 5-0 and they do go into the playoffs and he looks good. I mean, are you giving him a 5-year contract extension at $200 million?
I mean, if you tell me that the Mets are in the World Series and Jacob DeGrom came back and won a Cy Young winning self, then the answer is yes. But, I mean, this is a really tough question to answer right now because there's so many variables. But there is a scenario in which, yes, I think that is likely.
I mean, there's a clear path to that.
Oh, yeah,
there's
without
no question
a doubt.
About it.
Without a doubt.
But that clear path hasn't started yet.
No. Which is alarming for everybody involved.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Right now, be caller 7 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to Alice in Chains and Breaking Benjamin at PNC Bank Arts Center on Friday, October 7th. From our friends at Live Nation, tickets go on sale this Friday, May 20th at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com.
And don't forget, 2 hours from now, we'll be giving away more Yankees field-level tickets against the White Sox. So this is something that we do every day, 8:25 in the morning. We give away Yankees field-level tickets, so don't miss that. All right, I got a text message from Jerry Recco last night saying, I don't know what happened to me. Within seconds, I deteriorated, sore throat, congestion, feeling like absolute crap. So Jerry is home today doing his updates. I saw you slurping down that tea there, Jerry, in the break on the Zoom. How are you? How are we doing?
Oh, doing great. Yeah, this is like a party here.
And this just happened sort of like at a snap of a finger, huh?
Yeah, yesterday I was at work. I felt great. I was fine all afternoon, was working on the pool in the backyard. Then we had baseball practice at 6 o'clock, felt fine.
Yeah.
And then at about 7, when I got home at 7:30, about 15, 20 minutes later, I'm like, what in the hell? Why do I feel so terrible?
Yeah.
And then by 8:15, that's when I texted you. Like, this is not good. And it's gotten progressively worse. And so, if you remember back in December, well, you probably wouldn't because you were out on vacation. I felt like this. And I took a COVID test on the Sunday night, and it came back negative. I went to work the next morning, and then I was positive on Monday. So, who knows?
And you gave it to Sal.
Yeah, that's right.
I do remember that. So, that's I guess it's a good reason to stay home, to be safe, and see how this whole thing goes.
Oh, whatever.
You know what? I'm going home, too. See ya.
You were just home.
Yeah, I know.
Want to go back home? Go back home.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. All right, so we're powered by Superbook, featuring better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. So let's get to last night's Ranger game. You guys covered it, obviously, in the open. Bizarre game because the Rangers controlled this game for about 50 minutes or so. They get the game-tying goal to the Hurricanes late in the third, then in overtime.
Touchdown by Trouba.
Eddie, that's
Do not find it funny at all, you guys.
That was Hurricanes Radio with the call. They wind up winning 2-1 in overtime. That having been said, another thing you guys touched on was this play that could have stretched the Ranger lead from 1-0 to 2-0.
Kako throws the puck in the Hurricane zone. He'll stop him with it. Throw it behind the Canes net. It'll come all the way to the point for Trouba. Trouba's shot comes through. Then a rebound. Wide open in it. A gaping net missed by Kaapo Kakko. Oh, Kakko's going to have a nightmare about that one tonight.
Yeah, and the slow motion.
All right, Al. Enough.
Gaping.
It was. The slow motion video is even worse than seeing it in real time because, my God, it just slides right across the crease. So the Hurricanes take game one. Gerard Gallant. Tough to lose for sure, but we just move on.
Yeah, definitely a tough loss, but we've been there, done that, got to battle back.
Yep, got to regroup for game two. Here's Mika Zibanejad.
I thought we played great for the first 50 and had some good chances as well to make it 2-0. And they got their push, they got their goal, and they won in overtime.
Well,
but it's... there's a lot that we can take with us.
Mike Zibanejad.
Yeah. Or Mika. The goal, game-winning goal was one of those plays, shoot the damn puck and good things happen because it was deflected in past Shesterkin. Here was Brendan Smith. He talks about how poorly the Hurricanes played, but then they found it late.
I don't think we were very happy with our first two, and that was pretty evident. And a couple things were said after the second, and I thought we came out and played our best period and gave ourselves a chance to win and took it into overtime. And when it happens in overtime, you got to funnel pucks to the net, and that's what happened. So that was exciting.
And he even said, what's his name? Cole even said, I didn't know what to do with the puck, so I figured I'd just throw it towards the net.
I think he had two goals all year.
Yep. Unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely. So Philip Hedl did score the lone Ranger goal that looked like it would stand up until the goal that tied it late. And so the Hurricanes up 1-0. The other game last night saw the Flames beat the Oilers. I mean, my goodness, scoring was not exactly at a premium here. 9-6. You get the hat trick from Matthew Tkachuk, Rasmus Anderson, the go-ahead goal in the third. All right. All right, right, let's get to the Mets and Cardinals before we get to the juggernaut that are the Yankees. Because for the Mets, a couple of different things here. You got glass half full. That would be a win. Glass half empty. You got an injury. First, the good stuff and Pete Alonso.
The 1-1. Alonso drills it in the air to left center. That's pretty deep. Back near the wall. It might go. Home run! Pete Alonso! A home run that hit the back railing above the orange line. That's the signal from the umpires as Alonso rounds the bases with a three-run homer.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
And WCBS 880. That, for the most part, did it as the Mets wound up winning 11-4. They broke it open with four in the fifth and then really put it away with that five-run eighth inning. So all was good. The problem along the way was what happened in the sixth inning. After the Mets put up those four and actually gave Max Scherzer a lead, Max Scherzer couldn't finish the deal.
Scherzer talks to everybody around the mound. He's not speaking quite as confidently or as angrily as he usually does, and I think he's coming out of this game.
Well, so much for squeezing another inning after this one out of him. Max Scherzer is walking off.
Wayne you Randazzo. Have to think, Howie, might it be polio?
No, it was not polio.
Now, he's done this before, just so everybody realizes this. You know, this is not the first time he's ever taken himself out of a game mid-at-bat.
Okay.
All right. What was the last time and how long was he out for?
Yeah, you know, he's done this before, you know, but.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that factors into this particular thing, but I just really hope that this MRI comes back clean and this isn't an issue.
Because, imaging today, yes.
Yeah, they have enough issues right
here
now.
Here was Buck. He's going glass half full, kind of hoping that maybe Scherzer sends something and didn't want to risk further injury.
He's not going to put himself in harm's way. A lot of guys might have tried to continue to pitch, and so I'm hoping that we caught whatever's in there at an earlier stage of it.
Well, here was Scherzer saying exactly that.
I have never had, you know, kind of left side, you know, we don't know exactly what the exact injury is, but never had a left side injury before. So when I felt it, I just knew there's no way you can throw another pitch, so just get out of there.
So that happened. He came to the Mets to get that injury that he's never had before.
Never happened before.
Well, the bottom line is the Mets did win. They move 11 games over 500. Here was Alonso on SNY afterwards talking about the way the club played.
Great base running to get us to get ourselves in positions to score a lot of runs like we did tonight. Our plate discipline was excellent. Max did a great job. Bullpen did a great job. I mean, just unbelievable team win. Played great defense and. This is a high-quality win for us.
Series finale today at 1:10 on WCBS 880. Chris Bassett makes the start for the Mets. Then there are the Yankees. So I pose this question. Will they ever lose again? Well, at least not when they play the Orioles. They last night, they don't do a whole hell of a lot. Matter of fact, they did very little after the first inning and yet still win. And the Orioles, let's be honest, playing like the Orioles defensively.
Here's the 1-0, and the pitch gets away. Here comes Donaldson. The throw home is wild, and it rolls toward the first base dugout. Here comes another run. He scores.
Oh, my goodness.
That's another thing that's different about the Yankees, the way they run the bases.
I mean, yeah,
let me give myself a slap in the face and go on.
Susan, in the middle of that clip, acted as if there was someone who went into the booth with a knife. Did you hear that? She's like,
play one more time, Eddie.
Here's the 1-0. And the pitch gets away. Here comes Donaldson. The throw home is wild. And it rolls toward the first base dugout. Here comes another run. He scores.
Right there, yes.
That's another thing that's different about the Yankees. The way they run the bases.
Well, I'll tell you what's not different is how bad the Orioles play baseball.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. And by the way, the Yankees have lost four games since April 21st.
Yeah.
Quite the run.
Even that, they were 7-6. They're 28-9.
Yeah, on April 21st, they were 7-6, yes.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they don't lose, so good for them. Here's Aaron Boone, 28-9. Thoughts of the 98 Yankees, maybe?
It's been a great start, no question. Great intentions from the guys each and every day, you know, about coming in and being ready and it being about going out and trying to get a win, and they've delivered.
Well, last night, Garrett Cole went 7 for the win, 6-hit ball. He all of a sudden, so you look up, he's 4-0 with an ERA under 3 at 2.89. He says things went our way.
Defense picked us up early, and then I just started stringing together a lot of good executed pitches, and, you know, we didn't have some unfortunate luck.
Yeah. Today you give Jordan Montgomery on the mound as the Yankees will sweep the Orioles. Coverage on the Fan at 11:55.
I don't even know why they play. I mean, think about this.
Know.
What is it, May 20th right now or something like that, 19th? That the Yankees are 13 games up on the Boston Red Sox. 13 games. We're not even at Memorial Day weekend, and they're 13 games ahead of the Red Sox.
Now, you know, it's funny. I should know this. I don't know if the Rays won or not, but if the Rays won last night, they're still 5.5 up on them.
I know, 5.5, yep.
Which is really something. So, good win for the Yankees, 28-9. Again, series finale this afternoon. The Eagles signed former Giant James Bradberry, so it didn't take him long to find his next place. I read that 13 teams called his agent, and he wound up settling with Philadelphia because he loved the roster.
Right. I heard that, too, that he was winning was really on his priority list. Yeah. And that's why he chose the Eagles. I was like, huh?
I'd like to see those other 12 teams that called and just look at those and say, because the Eagles, to me, are not a Super Bowl-ready team.
No, not even close. I don't know. It sounds like a revenge thing
could
to
see
me.
Them, they could win that division, though.
I could see them winning the division going to the playoffs, yes. But, you know, they're not Green Bay. They're not Tampa Bay in the NFC. But better the NFC than playing in the AFC.
Sure.
Because in the AFC, you'd probably have to see, 10 quarterbacks, you know, in a row where, you know, it's going to put you on an island.
All right, let's get to the NBA's Western Conference Finals, Game 1 between Dallas and Golden State. Fair to say this was not much of a contest.
Thompson had it knocked away, puts it on the deck, waits, comes middle, step back from 17, that's good for Clay.
I'm going to go ahead and call it. That's it.
Mavs have yet to score in the quarter. It's a 10-0 quarter for Golden State.
That was Warriors Radio. How about this final? 112-87. And this stat I cannot believe. I mean, I didn't see the game either, but Dallas 3-for-19 from three in the first quarter. Not the first half. First quarter. And I know they shoot a lot of threes, but my Lord. So they got out to a bad start. Steph Curry had 21. They had several guys in double figures. Andrew Wiggins had 9 points, 5 rebounds. Here is Curry. Just talking about, you know, it's been a while since they've had a run like this, and they're going to try and take it in.
Who knows how, it plays out, but I'm enjoying every bit of this. I know Clay is as well, Draymond is, because, you know, we haven't played meaningful games at this time of year, in 2 years, so it's special.
And then there's Luka, so he had just 20 points. He was 6 of 18 shooting, got his face scraped at one point. Didn't flop either, didn't go down, but he got his face scraped, took a shot going to the basket as well. Post-game conversation talking about the battle scars that he suffered.
Luka, there are a couple points. First of all, how's your face?
Oh, that's good. Makes me look tough.
Sure does. And there were a couple points you looked like you were pulling at your right shoulder. Is everything all right there?
Yeah, I felt a little bit pain, you know. I shot it and pulled the hand, but it's okay. It's here behind. It's fine. We got some trim and we'll be fine.
That's good. Yeah. Tough day for Luka.
There was a picture yesterday that went viral of Luka Doncic, Boban Marjanovic, and an assistant coach.
This with the beer?
Yeah, and Luka's drinking a beer, and it was as if people were like Luka was committing some sort of crime.
Well, that's because they all thought it was game day when he was doing it.
No,
when it was the day before, right.
Yeah.
Initially, they thought it was the morning of yesterday's game.
But it was not.
So
we drank a beer. Big freaking deal.
How dare you?
I know. I mean, whatever.
I mean, I'm sure. Well, never mind.
It's just, anyway, Golden State up 1-0. And then tonight you got game two for the Heat and the Celtics. Miami up 1-0 there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Rainy Thursday morning. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You want to talk some Rangers, Mets, Yankees, everything that happened last night. Lines are open for you, 877-337-6666. I do have an update on the world's most entertaining Twitter beef between two celebrities. We touched on this yesterday. It all started when Lil Wayne, who is a big Chris Paul fan, a friend of Chris Paul, and a big fan of his, in the series between the Mavericks and the Suns, Lil Wayne tweeted out, "Luka a hoe," talking about Luka Doncic. So he was saying that Luka was a hoe. And then Mark Cuban came on, the owner of the Mavericks, on Twitter, and he responded with some of Lil Wayne's lyrics. It said, "It's a bleep show, put you in the front row," end quote. So then Lil Wayne, Weezy, didn't like that.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Lil Wayne Weezy.
Yeah, yeah. They call him Weezy as well.
And now he's Weezy.
Yeah, Weezy. Yeah.
All right.
So
I didn't know that.
Would you like me to call him Weezy or Lil Wayne?
I'm more in tune to Lil Wayne because of what happened with him and Odell Beckham and ESPN and going after Eli.
Okay.
So yeah. if you keep it at Lil Wayne, I could follow you. But when you start throwing in the other names, it's hard to follow.
Okay, sorry. So Lil Wayne,
yeah,
he then saw the Mark Cuban tweet, and he responded. Now, he has since deleted this tweet, but you know how that works. Once it's out there, it's out there, yes. So Lil Wayne responded with saying, "Mark Cuban, don't make me get you smacked, boy. You playing with me? I will bleep in your bleeping mouth, ho." And then he deleted that. And then put up another tweet right after that.
I mean, so Lil Wayne started this whole thing.
He did, yeah, yeah.
Right, so somebody called him out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's complaining about being called out on something that he said?
That's what he's saying. Don't make me get you smacked. Like, don't make me get you smacked. And then so he deleted that one and then put up a new tweet that I'm assuming is about Mark Cuban.
Okay.
Where he says, "You little bitch, it's up." That's what he said. So it's apparently time's up for Mark Cuban when it comes to Lil Wayne. So these two, I don't know.
What do you mean by time's up? What does that mean?
Ready, he's going to get him smacked. That's what he said.
Is that like hate speech?
He's going to get him smacked.
What is that?
It's a little smack situation from Lil Wayne to Mark Cuban.
Sticks and stones.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man, I love it. I can't get enough. Now, I want to see Mark Cuban come back and respond again. I want this to keep going for the rest of time, if possible. Because this is one of my favorite Twitter beefs ever.
As long as Luka Doncic is playing for Mark Cuban, and I'm assuming that Lil Wayne now is probably rooting for Golden State.
Oh, at this point, are you kidding me? Yeah, he is all in. He is like me in the leprechaun costume at this point against the Nets.
Okay.
That's what he wants.
You know, how about the leprechaun costume and how long ago that feels now?
I know. It does. Well, it was. I mean, it was a long time. I mean, think about it. We're in the conference finals of the NBA postseason.
And that was a sweep in the first round. Celtics over the Nets. So it was a long time ago now. I mean, that was a team that was just a candle in the wind.
I mean, I don't know. If you're Mark Cuban, I guess, I don't know, too many owners that are all this active on social media. So this is a little bit different. I don't see John Mara doing this. I don't see, you know, Woody Johnson doing this. I don't see Jim Goldman doing this. You know, I don't see Hal Steinbrenner or Hank Steinbrenner or any of the Steinbrenners doing this. Stevie Cohen got into a little tiff in Twitter there, you know, with Portnoy and everything.
That's
over,
right.
Over some stuff on the, you know, on Wall Street. But I don't know. the whole thing is so idiotic.
No, but it's great. It's and idiocy sometimes can be great. Yeah. Now, if you're Kevin Durant and you go out in the way that you did this year and things have gone the way that they have with the Nets, is this Golden State run annoying you, or you're just so far past it that it doesn't annoy you? Now, I would think that Kevin Durant, being the competitor that he is and the way that he left there and how bad the situation has been with Brooklyn, that it would bother him.
No, he's probably high, so it doesn't matter. Unless he cares.
And the reason you're saying that, just so people know, the reason you're saying that, I just choked on my own saliva when you said that.
Why?
No, because I wasn't expecting it. I don't know. But no, the reason you're saying that is because he was on with that David Letterman thing, and he said, you know, he's talking about smoking weed all the time, and he goes, yeah, I'm high right now.
Yeah, exactly. So he's probably been high ever since the season ended.
And you think he's totally chill?
Maybe he was high when, you know, Kyrie Irving came back. I don't know. Maybe that's how he deals.
That's how he deals with some of the pressure and the stress of being Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's just smoking.
Right.
Just like and Luka Doncic apparently dealing with stress with drinking a beer on his off day that everybody thought was criminal somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid was that? Even if it was the morning of the game.
It's just NBA stuff. It's just NBA, you know, melodrama off the court. The fans like it. The players seem to get involved with it. They create the Twitter beefs, you know, whether it's real or not, or it's fabricated just to keep people interested, I don't know. But
well, as we said yesterday, the off-the-court stuff in the NBA is now more entertaining than the on-the-court stuff. Because these playoffs have not been great. I mean, there's blowouts all over the place. Game 7 blowouts, another blowout last night to kick off the Western Conference Final. You know, you had Miami really, and Boston, you know, the two injured Celtics obviously played into that, but that wasn't much of a competitive game. So all this stuff that's happening off the court, with Lil Wayne, Mark Cuban, LeBron talking about KD and Kyrie, the MVP stuff, I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's just more energy. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving on a podcast.
Net culture,
oh, Sean Marks. I mean, the off the court stuff is better. It's just flat out better.
I will say the off-the-field stuff with the NFL this year has been off the charts.
Yeah, oh yeah, off-season. But a lot of that had to do with on-the-field stuff, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, those were all, like, off-season moves. Like, not, like, the dramatic
fighting back and forth and screaming and yelling at each other.
And your tribal names and the things that Kyrie was talking about.
Putting your feelings out there in public.
Right. Completely different situation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.